between wearing a hat for elements, the outdoor elements? And
what's the outdoor element for wearing a hat? I mean, I'm bald and I stand out in the sun. I don't need outdoor elements. That's just another topic. So you said your new group, who did you split from?
Rockfield Pumpkins.
I'm sorry?
Croft Hill.
I couldn't understand.
Croft Hill.
Croft Hill?
Croft Dale.
Croft Dale.
It's a Mennonite.
Is that around here?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you split from them. What was the, can I ask what's the split over?
It had to do with moral, material, and dress.
Dress? Mm-hmm. For what, women? Do they ever cover the dress for men? You know, God.
Yeah.
Did you know God killed animals and put mankind in tunics in Genesis 3, and that's never changed? It's the first bloodshed for man's covering.
Well, no,
I teach on that because it's beautiful. Because that's right after God ordained marriage for husband and wife. You believe in that? Are you married?
Yeah.
Okay, so you believe God ordained marriage for husband and wife. In Genesis 2, he did that. In Genesis 3, he kills animals and covers us. Everybody wore a robe and a tunic. It's why women wear a dress. And men were to cover our forms. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus wore one. Hey, hold on. You Anabaptists always say you're following Jesus, living like Jesus. Why don't you dress like Jesus? Not even close. Paul and them would have never covered their heads speaking about God, and they would have never walked around in their... These are breeches. These are breeches. God ordained the priests in breeches, and now they're pants, and they're fine. But they would that would be considered... If I took my tunic off, walked around in a t-shirt, that's almost nakedness because it's showing off my form. So it's just another example. Did half of the church split? Or just a few? Or
It was... there were several different... It was
who's going to lead you now? Do you have elders? So that it split from the elders down. So see... I like to talk about this because when these Anabaptists tell me I'm divisive, they never mention, oh yeah, this group split from this group, and this group, and this group. They only label me divisive when I'm following the Word of God, and they're following man-made traditions.
So,
this is my wife, Debbie, by the way. This is Paul.
Hi.
He's being very gracious.
So, would you have fellow worshipers or... A church body that you would worship?
Well, I travel full-time. I'm an evangelist. I'm called to travel full-time. We do have a homestead not far from here, but we're rarely there. I travel full-time. Mm-hmm. What we have evolved into is we're like a home fellowship group, but we basically do it online because we travel so much and no one else travels with me.
So
we don't have a local body here because we moved here from Wisconsin, 5 years ago, roughly? And we came here and we started looking at the Anabaptists and we're like, we can't unite them and the Anabaptists strong here. They're unbiblical. They're keeping sin, like the evangelicals. We might as well go to the evangelicals. And we couldn't find anybody here established. And then God called me to travel and be, I'm a street preacher. So I travel all over. I go out in the world and I preach. We were just preaching at Columbia University or Missouri University. We go to big events. We stand outside religious places. We do. We stood outside of Ridgeview 3 years ago. Steve Zook promised me biblical answers. Never. It's on the internet if you look it up. But never gave me any biblical answers. It's so discouraging that the people that claim that they love God and have gone deep enough to change somewhat how they dress, even though it's not fully biblical. I don't believe the bun on the back of the head is a biblical head covering, but that's a separate topic. And then when you bring to these things like pagan holidays and corruption and pride and vanity in the dress and you... calling Sunday the Lord's Day. The Bible never calls Sunday the Lord's Day. And I don't keep Saturday Sabbath. But the Bible never calls Sunday the Lord's Day. Never. That's an evangelical invention. And I can't get any Anabaptist to show me where the Bible calls Sunday the Lord's Day. It doesn't. It's Roman Catholic. Now, you can gather on Sunday, but don't call it the Lord's Day. This is a lie. Like saying Jesus was born December 25th. It's a lie. Like saying he died Good Friday and rose Sunday. It's a lie. Right?
Yeah, well, there's certain days we observe. We don't know necessarily the certain days and times.
Right, but I'm going to ask you a question. If you observe them, they're called holy days, right? Who makes holy days, man or God?
I don't know. I mean...
They are. Christmas and Easter are called holy days. Who makes holy days, man or God?
Now, if you term that as holy days, that's...
Holiday... means sounds, holy day.
Yeah, but that sounds like a Roman Catholic. That sounds Roman
no.
Catholic.
God makes days holy. Right. Only God did. No. God ordain Christmas and Easter.
You were talking about holidays.
Yep. Holiday comes from holy day. But did God ordain Christmas and Easter? Where in the Bible did he ordain Christmas and Easter?
I mean, there's some groups that don't observe it.
Right,
like
but because he didn't. He didn't ordain it. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those aren't commandments you're keeping, like I told you. This is a big problem with the Anabaptists. And I hope since you split and you're looking for truth, maybe you go even further. And it will cost you separation from the Mennonites because you can't keep the name. Paul says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. Why are you causing division in 1 Corinthians 11? You got to lose the name. Are you guys going to stay Mennonites or are you going to lose the name?
That is a term, a label term for a distinction.
The Bible says don't do it. Why would you do it? That doesn't matter. You don't have the authority to distinguish yourselves.
I mean,
why don't you distinguish yourself as a Christian?
We do. I mean,
then don't use Mennonite. Menno would rebuke you all.
Well,
you know he would. Menno was a godly man. He would rebuke you and say, lift up Christ, not me. You know that's true. You're laughing. You know that's true.
I'm not. We don't use that to elevate ourselves to.
It doesn't matter. The Bible says don't do it, and you're doing it. So you're not obeying the scriptures, Paul. So what I'm saying is go deeper, and you'll learn that if you were to go deeper and quit. Here's the thing. What the Anabaptists have done, I want to get to this point. They're keeping man-made traditions from 500 years ago, the Reformation. What you need to do is go back to the first century and keep the traditions of Paul. Yeah, because in the first century, they weren't doing Christmas, Easter, Sunday is the Lord's Day. They weren't unbiblically dressed. They weren't adorning themselves. Come along 500 years later, and now they've adapted the holidays from the Roman Catholics and the evangelicals. And you know what I find is amazing to me? The Roman Catholics and the evangelicals 500 years ago were killing the Anabaptists. Menno Simons had to run his whole life. They wanted to kill him. You know what's happening today? The Anabaptists, many of them, are going back to unite with Roman Catholics and evangelicals, saying, well, we disagree, but not that much. Let's have unity. And this one world system is forming. And what's strange is most people don't realize something. Have you ever heard of the Inquisition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Roman Catholics had a thing called the Inquisition. They would hunt you and I down and kill us. That hasn't gone away in the Catholic Church. They changed the name of it. It's still in their documents, and they still believe that everyone who does not submit to the Pope is a heretic and should be executed. The only reason they don't carry it out today, can't get away with it under the current laws. The Jesuits are their secret, not secret, everybody knows about the Jesuits, are their military arm. And it's been proven the Jesuits are like the assassins for the Pope, and they go out and do things for the Pope like the mafia underground. And my point in telling you about the Roman Catholics is the traditions you're keeping came from them. So you need to go back to the first century. And if you're going to jump there, because if you would divide over like some dress issues and you would divide, you're wearing that black hat. I just told this man at the other food place, I knew a man that was moving from Missouri down to Tennessee. And he found a body he wanted to join. Him and I weren't united, but we were talking. And he went to go join and they said, yeah, you can join us, but. And he said, what's the but? They said, you got to wear a black-inch, four-rimmed hat. That's our rule. And he said, I don't want to wear a black hat. And they said, you can come to church here, but you can't have communion, and you can't be a member till you put the four-inch black hat on. And he said, gone, done. Those type of man-made traditions, telling people to color a car they can drive, that are not in the Scripture. I can teach my wife how to dress because it's in the Scripture. I can teach you how to dress because it's in the Scripture. I can't tell you, Paul, you got to have black shoes, not brown shoes. That's not in the Scripture. So all of these things that the Anabaptists are teaching fall outside of what Jesus said, or the man-made, fall into man-made traditions. And I'm telling you, you're going to hear, unless you repent, you're going to hear, away from me, work of iniquity, because he says the worship of God is void in the keeping of man-made traditions. Mark 7.
I can't tell you where it's written, but as far as it does say one place, describe whatever the scribes and Pharisees bid you do,
yep,
that do.
Yep. He's talking about Torah law, but that was under Torah law, because until Jesus died, they were under Torah law. So yeah, he's telling them, do everything they say, but don't do it like they do it. They're hypocrites.
Right.
They were telling people to do it, and they don't do it. Everything I teach people, I do. We lost our family. We lost our friends. I lost my career. We turned away from man-made religion to do what we do. We know the cost. We know the cost. And I always tell men, if people look at my website, you can go to the library and look it up. Go to the teaching blog. You'll find hundreds of articles to encourage you. You have my phone number. You have my email. I always tell people, if I'm your brother, in Christ, you're supposed to love me. If you don't love me, you don't have God. Most Anabaptists do not love me. They don't have God. The Bible says that. Or if your elder says, watch out, that guy's dangerous, we've heard about him, then I'm your enemy. What did Jesus say we're supposed to do with our enemies? Love them. And wouldn't you want to come and bring the truth to your enemy so I could repent and get it right? In the years I've been doing this, Paul, no Mennonites, no Anabaptists will come sit down with an open Bible, test me, test themselves, and let's get this all straight so we can have unity and go on. They want me to repent, and I say, show me what? But when I show them stuff, they won't repent. They won't repent. This is the hypocrisy. Do you know Jesus hates religious hypocrisy more than he hates the drunk in the gutter? Did you know that? It's true. Are you going to judge religious hypocrisy fiercely like he did with the Pharisees? And that's why I reach out to my Mennonite neighbors, Anabaptists. We reach out to the world. We spend our life going preaching the gospel everywhere. We don't take anyone's money. And we encourage people to go deep in the scriptures. And what I would love to, from you, you got my phone number. I'm going to be around here for the next 3 weeks only. Then I'm gone. I'm leaving. I'm traveling. I'm going to be bouncing around. And then when winter comes, when it gets cold here, all the events are gone. We head south and we do preaching outside all over down south. I'd love to hear you call me and set up a meeting. Could be on the phone. We could do it on the phone. And I'd like to talk about these topics with your elder, your pastor. You can listen in if you don't feel like you're ready to or qualified to do it. And go over these things. And I would like an Anabaptist man, a leader, to go to the scriptures. The Bible says be a Berean in Acts 17 and test all things. And show me what I'm saying is not true. I want to see the 3 days and three nights of Jesus said he'll be in the grave. I want to see why Anabaptists aren't going preaching Christ crucified. A lot of Anabaptists believe in the ransom theory, that Jesus didn't really die and shed his blood. The Father didn't punish him for our sin. A lot of them don't believe that. The ones down in Pinecraft, there was one guy that was standing there heckling me, and then I said, let's take turns preaching. We did. He doesn't believe. Down there, they don't believe that Jesus, that the Father sent Christ to be punished. In Isaiah, it says it pleased him to bruise him, and they refused. You know who they believe? You're shaking your head, but the Anabaptists, a lot of them believe the ransom theory. They believe Jesus paid Satan, paid off Satan. It's called Christus Victor. It's the ransom theory. Most Anabaptists believe
that. Never heard that.
Do you know why? It's why they don't preach Christ crucified. If you preach Christ crucified, and you preach the kingdom of God, which is not the Anabaptist kingdom. The kingdom of God is not the Anabaptist kingdom. That's a man-made false tradition, just like the evangelicals. Came out of the evangelicals. Repent, go back to the first century, get your life and your house in order with the first century, see if anybody stands with you, and if they don't, here's my encouragement to you. Be a Noah in your generation and stand alone against it, because in the last days, Jesus said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left on earth when I return? If you're looking for fellowship in numbers, the problem with that is, Jesus said there's going to be few, and who does the Bible tell us to fellowship with? True believers, not those that keep sin. The Bible tells us to reject those. If you say you're my brother and I find out you're in sin and you won't repent of it, I can't have fellowship with you. That would be hypocrisy against the holy word of God. So there's a lot of fellowship idolatry. They say, well, you gotta have a place to go. Why? You got your home. Noah didn't give up his faith to go hang out with pagans and have a gathering. No. That's an Anabaptist tradition that says, oh, Paul, if you go against the elders, well, if the elders aren't teaching biblical truth, Jesus commands you go against them. Acts 5:29. Do we obey God or do we obey men? And those men telling you how to dress, which isn't biblical, not getting the women in order, teaching pagan holidays, teaching you a form of religion. We go to church on Sunday. We do songs, we do sing, and we do this. Then we go out in the world and we kind of live our life and we don't really love our neighbor, we're not really preaching the gospel, we're not really carrying ourselves biblically. You just admitted you would never wear a hat and talk about God in the religious building. That building has become an idol. It's become a pagan temple because you brought paganism into it that you must repent of. So I hope I get a phone call. You've been gracious. I hope I get a phone call from you to set up a phone call, or I'll come meet with you to open the scriptures.
Probably not.
Why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? I'm either a brother or an enemy. You're supposed to love both. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Well, I kind of detect an attitude that I'm afraid I couldn't breach.
And have you opened the Word of God to show me?
Would you be willing?
I'm asking you to set up a meeting and to open the Word of God and show me the gospel, the pagan holidays, all the unbiblical ways. I'm asking you to do it. How could you say, would I listen? How could you say that?
It's a little conversation we had. I just wasn't sure if there'd be any...
Well, because, see, I'm a preacher. I only have you for a limited time. I wanted to preach truth into you. Now, if you call me and go, what you said bothers me. We think you're lying about the Anabaptists. You're lying about us. Let's talk about it. And here's my promise. You or your elder, your pastor, call me and say, we got something we want to tell you. Great. I'm listening. And I will be quiet for an hour and a half if they have a whole bunch of stuff to say, and I'll take notes, and I'll listen. Rebuke me, correct me, teach me. And then when you're done, Paul, then it's going to be my turn, and I'm going to have a whole bunch of questions for you. And men aren't willing to do that. Are you?
Willing.
Aren't willing to come, teach, preach, rebuke, correct, and then hear an answer from a man. I've been doing this for years. No Anabaptist will do this. Why not? Is it a John 3 situation where they hide in their sin?
No, I don't think so.
Really? With Steve Zook it is, from Ridgeview Mennonite in Barnett, because he's hiding in his sin because he keeps practicing pagan holidays and the women are all unbiblical and they don't preach the biblical gospel. You know what they were doing there that day? They were laughing. Help me. Martin, what was his first name? Last name's Martin. The guy that owns a big generator company, big electric.
Oh, Marcus Martin.
Marcus Martin, thank you. Not the older man, his son, Marcus. Is it Marcus?
Marcus, yeah.
Marcus. He was there. He was laughing, mocking. In the middle of preaching and talking truth, they started singing. Singing is supposed to be unto God and to each other in a serious thing. They started singing songs. This is foolishness when the Bible says we're to be sober about the things of God. This is the fruit I see. I just told him how Pinecraft called the police on us for no reason. You know, Daniel Miller down there is the one guy. If you ever go on the internet, look up Pinecraft Exposed. Our My Testing comes up. Daniel Miller was the one guy that was standing there mocking me. And I said, listen, let's be civil. Let's take turns. So I would preach for 10 minutes. He would get to preach and I would preach. So we did that. I don't agree with the guy. He's a heretic. But you know what? I'll give the guy credit. He's actually standing up for what he believes, trying, even though he's unbiblical doing it. All the rest of the Mennonites, they just want to play shuffleboard. I walked around that park and I said, any of you men want to talk about the truth of God? Or would you rather play shuffleboard? Playing shuffleboard. This is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if I don't get a phone call from you, it's true. That's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because I'm either your brother and we need to unite in the faith, or I'm lost on my way to hell and your group doesn't care about me or my precious wife. Go ponder that. And I hope that I get a phone call from you. I'm going to be around for 3 weeks, but I can take a phone call anytime. And we can go on the phone and we can talk about the scriptures. And for you, and I love you, for you to say, would you listen when I'm asking you to set up a meeting to open the scriptures is very disingenuous, Paul. Will you ponder that? Ponder that.
Disingenuous
to say that, because you're saying, I don't know, will you even listen when I'm asking you to set up a meeting? Why would I ask you to set up a meeting if I didn't want to listen?
Well, if you would ask to set up a meeting to be the speaker.
I'll speak and I'll listen. Of course, that's how it works. You talk, I talk. You talk, I talk. I'm not going to show up in a meeting and say, sure, tell me how wrong I am. Oh, I can't say anything in the Word of God. I'm going to bring the Word of God to you as you bring it to me. The problem is the Anabaptists, here's my challenge to you. You've been gracious. I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing. Here's my challenge to you. I don't believe the Anabaptists are following, keeping, and care about the Word of God. They keep their false man-made traditions. You need to repent of that or you're going to miss the kingdom of God. Test yourself to the Word of God. We have it. Go to the library and look up my testing and it'll show you all kinds of articles.
Did you ever read Matthew 7?
I know Matthew 7. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Judge not that ye be not judged.
Right. What does it keep saying if you keep reading right there?
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
Exactly. So I'm judging you by the truth of God. That's how I want to be judged. And then keep going. What does it say after that?
With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you.
Again. Exactly. Now keep going. Oh, no, don't stop. Keep going.
Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Keep going. Very good. You know it. Now what does it say? See, don't pull one scripture verse out. Now what does it say? You can quote it. I can't quote it, but I know what it says. Ready? It says, remove the mote out of your own eye. Then you can see rightly and to judge and get the speck out of your brother's eye. It doesn't say not to judge, Paul. It says don't judge hypocritically. 1 Corinthians 5 tells me to judge the body. You're the body of Christ. I'm going to judge you to the word of God as you should judge us. In Matthew 18, you want to quote Matthew 18? You know Matthew 18 well. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, we all sin, just overlook it. Go to him one-on-one. If he hears, you win a brother. If he won't repent, take another brother or two. If he won't repent, take him to the body. And then what did Jesus say about men that live in sin that won't repent? What did he say to do with them, Paul? We're right by the shoe section. Kick them out of the body is what my Lord and Savior said. And that's to keep leaven out of the body. You guys are keeping leaven.
So how many people do you have in your fellowship?
What difference does that make? If I told you I have 2 or I have 187, what difference does that make? We don't do numbers. You know why? Numbers skew things. There was 7 on the ark and thousands died. You want those numbers? 2, 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only 2 walked into the Holy Land. I don't talk about numbers because 1, the number changes all the time. People come in, people leave. It's foolish to talk about numbers because if I tell you a number and you go, wow, that's impressive, that would be boasting.
So you would have...
Right, that would be boasting, right? If I said 387 people, you'd go, wow, that's a big Anabaptist body.
No, it seems to me there's some kind of a... It raises questions if a person's just the only one.
Did Noah stand alone in a wicked generation?
No,
but see, here's what you do. Here's where you make the mistake. Here's where you make the mistake, and all the Anabaptists do this. They right away put a number and go, well, if this group is small, they must not have the truth.
Hold on.
You're real small compared to the Roman Catholics. Do they have more truth than you? How about you guys are smaller than the body you left? Do they have more truth than you? You guys are smaller than evangelicals. Do they have more truth than you? What if it's just me and my wife? What if it's just us and what we say is true in the Word of God? Does it matter?
Well,
it shouldn't.
It raises serious questions.
Really? Yeah. You know what the serious question would be? Noah stood alone with his family against the world, and Noah was righteous before God, and the whole world was judged and drowned. If you can't bring the scriptures, I'm holding my phone up because I use the Bible. If you can't use the scriptures to judge us and show us where our sin is, don't judge us by a number. Judge us by the Word of God. You just said it's strange if there's only 1 or 2. Why? Jesus said there'll be few in the last days, not many. I just quoted you, Luke 18:8. Will there be any faith left? Few there be that find it says. Few of you Anabaptists are going to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know that? I don't care if you've got 57 people in your building. I'd be surprised if one of them make it to heaven. Yes, sir. According to my Lord and Savior, according to the Word of God, because he said, judge a tree by its fruit. Last thing I'm going to say, I got to let you go. Judge a tree by its fruit. You look up our website, look at our lives. This is the only people you know from our fellowship. Look at our lives, look at my doctrine, look at what I teach, look at what I believe, look at the cost, look at the fruit, then judge us to the Word of God by that. I've already done the Anabaptists that, and you guys have rotten fruit that you have to repent of, and I've covered it all. You've been very gracious. I hope to get a phone call from you to set up that meeting where you can go and test me. You can go to the library. You guys all use it for business and everything.
We don't.
You don't use the internet for business or anything? Nothing. Okay. Well, good. I'm surprised. Okay, but that's fine. You don't have to use the internet. You can call me. You can call me. I have a paper track that lays out more. Would you like a paper track? It lays out more. It's bigger. It's got 2 pages on it.
You've already had some of...
No. Uh-uh. I got one in my van. If you say you want one, I'll give you one. If not, I'll leave you be.
No, thanks.
Okay. So I doubt I'm going to hear from you, and I hope that I'm wrong. I hope you repent of all the Anabaptist sin. You're a new group here. We'd love to unite to you guys, but I can tell. Do you have a name? What's the name of it going to be?
The name of the group?
Yeah.
Midwest Conference.
No, but I mean, what's your local name going to be?
We don't have.
You don't have one?
For Christians. I mean,
You said they're putting up a building. You're not going to have a building that says North Ridge Mennonite Church. You're not going to have that?
There's going to be no sign out there. No,
no, but you're going to, but you call yourselves Mennonites. You already told me that. You're Mennonite. So, but I would like to know what your body is, because I'd like to talk to the, who's the leader? Who's one of the elders?
There's several different ones.
Okay. Who would the main guy be? What's his name?
Raymond Shirk.
Raymond?
Shirk.
Shirk. S-H-I-R-K. Raymond Shirk. I'll look him up. I can probably find him. I might look him up. I might reach out to him. You give Raymond my phone number. I want to hear from him. I hope you repent. We love you.